Hey, ladies and gentlemen, hope you like the clickbaity title on this one. Basically, Kix had been taunting Node, saying that generative art is a scam. What he means by that is that a lot of the folks that hold really big bags of various generative art projects try to push a narrative that suggests that they're more valuable than they actually are. It results in a big price pump, but with very low unique ownership. So we dive into that, dive into the big time generative art NFT projects that have already come out, as well as some of the recent ones that have come out and the recent run that has happened with generative art. So we talk about some notable collectors like Zeneca and DC Investor. Node makes his point, Kix makes his point, and we're also joined by Nifty Nick. It's a good episode. As usual, this is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. In this video, we are going to have the most intelligent discussion that you've heard this week. It's whether or not generative art NFTs are a scam. So we're going to find out whether they're a scam, ladies and gentlemen. As usual, if you enjoyed this content, you can hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. Really helps us out with the channel. And as always, as you can probably tell based on the title, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky and apparently sometimes a scam. So always do your own research. Gentlemen, you've been dying to talk to each other on a show. Little did you know it was going to be the dumbest topic of conversation ever.
I literally wrote it as a troll, but we're actually doing it. So let's go, dude.
my dream. Here I am with Kix. And it's on a subject that I love that he's trolling me on. So this is perfect.
Exactly. We'll talk some generative art. We'll talk whatever else we got in the market. Node, you've been making some good buys. I always love your thoughts. So let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So check it out. So generative art, for people that don't know, if there's, you know, the off chance that you don't know, what generative art is, I guess you could call it, and both of you, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like it's like algorithmic art. In other words, it's artwork that is, the root of it is computer software that an artist either writes themselves or they collaborate with a tech person. And then that computer software basically spits out artwork. And for example, the project that I have right pulled up right now, Factura by Matthias Isaacson, which, by the way, I didn't know about this until today. It apparently just dropped. This is like probably my favorite generative art that I've seen.
What?
I really like it, man. Yeah. I mean, look, Fidelia always was the one that I looked at that I thought was really good. Ringers as well. Obviously, these are some of the greatest hits. If anything, actually, I might even give the Ringers the edge over Fidenza because I just really appreciate the level of execution. But this one is like, this is really fucking good because it's complicated stuff. So I've never made generative art myself, but I think that it's not like a roll out of bed and you just make some amazing generative art type of thing. And this stuff is elaborate. Like, I can't say that the market's like, yeah, I'm going to buy that one. So that's your little intro on generative art. Kix here he's opinionated and has an opinion that generative art in general may be, as he describes it, a scam. So I want to hear what exactly that means. What are we talking about here?
That's a sensationalist statement. I don't think
we call it clickbait.
I don't think generative art is a scam. I definitely don't think generative artists are doing anything, but they're artists, right? Like, I'm not trying to say like these artists are just like, you know, doing scams or, you know, what I am trying to say is that I think that with at least some generative art, the narrative that gets created around them is the scam, where like, you know, small groups of people can basically own the whole market or own a huge percentage of the market and basically tell other people that this is something that like you really, really want, right? And Node's going to school me on a lot of this. I'm very certain of it. But let's go, Node. My point being is that if you think about, okay, what is generative art? It runs through an algorithm. Well, then technically, like Bored Ape Yacht Club is generative art in some sense of the word. Now, it is a collection, but they spit out all of those apes through an algorithm, right? That picked different variables, the variables being the accessories that the ape could wear. Now, of course, generative art, a lot of it has more complexities than that. I was actually a big fan of a project back in the day called Botto. I don't know if y'all remembered Botto.
And that was generative art.
Yes. That airdrop took it to the
reason why I really liked Botto is because I believed that like it felt like more of like a body of work from like an artist, like the concept of a digital artist, right? Like an artist that is an AI makes a lot of sense to me, right? But just the concept of making generative art, I don't think just the concept of making generative art makes it necessarily a long-term amazing thing. Now, I do think that a lot of the generative art is really cool. But like, yeah, like squiggles, like what the fuck's going on here, dude? Okay, ringers, explain ringers to me. There's like 260 people that own ringers. They own all the supply. They own all the 1,000 ringers, and it's just a little ring-a-dink. And you know, it's worth like, you know, what, 50,000, 60,000 bucks?
What's bunch of losers.
So check 50, it out.
80,000 bucks? 59.
I want to draw a couple lines here real quick, because if a fucking sophisticated person watches this, they're going to write us off faster than fucking, I don't even know what, faster than I was eating my lunch today, 'cause I waited until 3 PM. So, with ringers, this one right here, from an art perspective, my opinion is this stands up big time. I think that this stands up big time. I think you can look at the Mondrians of the world. The
What's
like,
the name of the artist?
Those kind of, it's Dmitry Cherniak.
Okay, you know it. Well played.
And so Dmitry Cherniak is like an OG generative art person. And this is like, you know, his big collection so far. And I'm a big fan. What I think Kix is really trying to say is he's really talking about the narratives that get created by people that are not the artist and not affiliated in any way other than that they own. And so there's 1,000 ringers in this collection. However, there's only 282 owners, so sub 30% ownership. And I think Kix is referring to like the bag pumping and the narrative creation that comes when a few influential people have massive bags of a particular piece, and they're able to push a narrative forward and influence the market because of their own influence, right? So think about it.
Like, example, the Fracturer one. Like, it's not terrible, right? But literally 24 hours out, people are like, is this the next Fidenza? You know what I mean?
Are they
like,
saying that?
Wait, the when CEO did this launch? Nansen, when did Fractura launch?
The CEO of Nansen said that.
It was this weekend. It was like a day or two ago. It was over the weekend. It launched and it's shot up to like a 4 ETH floor. This like reminds me of Archetype,
right?
Oops, sorry.
What's that?
It was like 0.15, right?
Yeah, it was well under an ETH like a day or two ago. And yeah, minted out really early.
How do you spell this?
F-A-C-T-U-R-A.
And this is not even an art box, right? This is GM Studio?
Yeah, GM Studio, which I honestly hadn't even kept in like track of. So
didn't they launch earlier this year or late last year?
Sick. They're so good.
They look good, man. So those, I'm just shocked, you know, because Kix is like the art speculator. I don't know why you don't just love all of this, dude. It's pure speculation. This looks good.
What's so good about it?
Good, man. Dude, what's so good about
this? I knew this was gonna be the dumbest conversation.
If you have class, you're a man of the people. I don't know, man. Like, you just look at this, it speaks to your soul.
No, I'm actually about to get really pissed off here in a second, because I need to check. But I was like, you know what this looks like? This looks like another art box project called
this. It's Archetype, yeah.
Archetype, but it's like Chetil
Gold,
3D.
Yeah, Golid, like 3D. which I don't. That's why I don't like this collection as much. I like the archetypes. Those are the OGs.
What's
pissing me off, dude, is I bought an archetype for 3 and sold it for 2.5, and now they're 30. I'm checking my activity to make sure that's not the one I did that with.
Beautiful.
Really,
this
dope
looks
stuff.
Much more like Mondrian.
Exactly, and I'm pulling up Mondrian in another tab right now, and you could make the case that this project is heavily influenced by Mondrian to the point where I start to throw. Look, I can't fucking throw any flags. This is preposterous. This is fantastic. No, I'm
throw
serious.
A flag. Throw a flag out there at this project is trash.
No, it's not. The only time I throw flags is when people in the NFT space are blatantly copying Picasso or Basquiat, which is like this sizable percentage of artwork in the NFT space. It's like either Picasso or Basquiat that they're copying. But this is just fire. Like this is a sick, sick project. And Kix, it's no surprise that you sold it for a loss and then it ran to 30.
I have to still confirm that it was that. I'm not positive. When did these launch? Like summer of last year?
At least.
It had to be Art Block summer. Looks like it was July 8th, 2021.
That sounds like so, right around the time I'm going to fucking flip shit.
No surprise. Nick, thank you for joining us. Do you have some input on this preposterous conversation?
You say that like you had invited me, but you hadn't. So I was not I never received the link for this show. So really
Nick,
appreciate
welcome
that.
Welcome to your show.
Hey,
welcome
to the end for that.
It's in the content thread. All the stuff's in the content thread. You're in the content thread. It's there.
That's
buddy.
How I
Everyone
found
else
it.
Got
I
it
went,
from there.
I went and hopped in there. Usually you share it elsewhere. So anyways, my thoughts
King
are
Nick
I like
needs-
I like generative art. And that's my position on it. I do not view it as a scam. I actually love Art Blocks in particular. Like as a developer, I just respect the fact that you can like build something and then code it and turn that into money. This stuff has been around for a long period of time, though. The real question then is, you know, is one worth more than the next? And why is Fidenza worth what it is versus another generative art? Like we all believe that these lines in particular are worth something. No, I think it's more to what Kix was saying, which is that it's a bunch of a small group of holders that are running a scam. And the deal is that they're all collectively setting the price of this art, which is exactly. Very similar to the traditional art market. I don't think
tell
that
us
there's
about
anything,
this documentary and everything. Talk to us.
I just don't think there's anything wrong with that. I was having a conversation. I think Sarah Script I was discussing it with, and then it's a recurring conversation if you have with an artist. Artists get really frustrated by the fact that like of the absurd prices of some of these things, because you'd say, I've been studying, and I'm not saying that this is what she was saying, but it's what I hear holistically from other artists, frankly, where it's, I went to school for this. I've been working my ass off with my art. I've been doing all these different things and I'm clearly more talented than this person, but why is their thing worth more? And it's something that you hear across I can't tell you the number of artists that I've spoken to who articulate that. And more so from Sarah actually has a different perspective, but I'll let her speak for herself. But this common thread that I hear, there's validity to that, I think, which is like, why is this one? Why, like, look, these look great. They look great. I love it. You can go and get the code and basically make the same thing, because the guy who created this, Tyler Hobbs, has been sharing variants of that algorithm. And then he took that algorithm from somebody else as well. Now, the stuff looks dope, but is it worth $125,000? What is the passion of look at read and hear?
I was reading Marcus Aurelius Meditations as a sophisticated art man that I am. Let me just tell you a few things about Tyler Hobbs. The guy is a freaking genius. Go do this. Go to YouTube. Go to watch any of his YouTubes, dude. He is awesome. And he explains the concepts of generative art. He's been doing it for like 6 years plus, dude. So Tyler Hobbs is the GOAT. If you go to his website right now, PO, and go to 2018. Look at some of his work from 2018. It is absolutely stunning. Absolutely.
How much is that work worth?
How much is that work worth?
It doesn't even have a. I don't know. I don't even know if you
there's
can buy
no
it.
Price. Exactly. It's priceless. But what I'm saying is like you. Yeah, you're right. Is he the only intelligent artist in the generative art space? No. Like there's a million people who are intelligent, and even like and to me, it's more about a narrative game. Around some of this, like I look at this right now, just absolute garbage. That site we were just looking at, Tyler Hobbs homepage, trash. Right, I'm just kidding, but
this stuff looks so beautiful.
This looks really good. Damn,
look at this
dope.
Guy, dude. Just appreciate the beauty. And he talks about
I don't
like
that one. I mean, that one looks like tissue paper layered over pretty easy. Could have done that so in 5 minutes. Literally, just a box of tissue paper. Crumple that up, slab it on there. Well, bam. I'm a genius.
Just go check out his YouTube called How to Hack a Painting. He goes about like, hey, here's my thought process for how to create like a watercolor effect through code. Freaking amazing, dude. The guy is awesome. And you go to VCon.
Did he make naked women through code? That seems like a profit.
Tyler Hobbs and Snowfro. Smart, best talk that there was the whole time, dude. Look at that one. That one, scroll up a little bit.
That's a white square in the middle of an ocean of blue. Probably took him like 5 minutes to make that shit. No, I'm just kidding. That Sandscape one looks sick.
There was an Amber Vittoria drop that literally like caught the attention of all of NFT Twitter over the weekend because it was so dope. And Nick was like, so just so I understand, this is like construction paper, only digital, right? And I was just like, dude, you're just missing it, man.
Let me ask you're telling me I'm missing it. Like, yeah, it's so condescending. Right there. Sorry, what were you going to say, Kix?
I was going to say, let me ask a question to the generative art expert. So explain to me this. So, like, how much influence is the artist behind the generative art? How much of that is an influence on price, do you think?
I think it's identical to the traditional art market. Like, what makes any given artist have valuable work, right? It's like, it's just the same. It really is. The only difference is that this is accessible by a global market and there isn't any gatekeeping when it comes to buying. Like, you can just go and buy this.
So, like, for example, with Ringers, you said the guy's name was like Dimitri or whatever?
Dimitri Cherniak.
So, like, does his other body of work, is it priced similar to how Ringers are priced? You know what I mean?
Or you go and check out Eternal Pumps.
Like, basically, what I'm trying to figure out is,
you can't even buy
like
an Eternal Pump right now, dude. You can't even buy them there without price, dude. Look at the sales on those suckers.
1 month ago, was bought for $316,000.
Look, just click on it. Just click on one of them. This was Vincent. This was a VVD pump. Look at this. Just absolute garbage.
I talked about this on the morning show, dude. So remember, this is part of his performance art.
I made this
in
first grade.
This is part of his performance art. He gave every Eternal Pump holder the chance to mint one Rapture, right? And the deal is, if nobody sells for the first year, the collection remains at 50. If anybody sells in the first year, it increases to 666. So that's why Eternal Pumps are pretty sweet, because it's like,
dude, this guy's got more moves than Pac.
Dude, he got a lot. He did the Dead Ringers. He did the Dead Ringers move, remember? Where he sent them all out.
You're saying this guy got more moves than Pac. This is an artist that made 50 of these things and probably sold them for one Ethereum or something, whereas Pac's making a square or a blob and saying, give me $100 million entire NFT market, and then disappearing. Literally nowhere to be found for months.
Yeah, that guy is impressive. Well, let's give it up for Pac, the true scammer,
Bravo. You know? Bravo. That was impressive. That makes me want to tweet something about that.
We kind of forgot about that. You know, it's like he pulled probably more money than any other artist, dude. Any other artist, like him and the Pixelmon guys, dude. Nobody even follows up. They're like, okay, let's just get mad at Zagabond instead, you know?
Yeah, okay, it actually isn't even close.
This Facturer one, like, is the artist has other work out there that's like priced similarly. What I'm basically trying to like decipher is like, are these prices going to speculation, like speculative highs, just because they're generative art that looks somewhat cool? Or is it actually like being priced because like this is a, you know, artist that has a body of work, like an X copy or something like that, right? Like, you know, X copy has a body of work, and as it grows over time, all of his prices appreciate, and like new stuff that he comes out with has like a price premium. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm not over here like NFT art is bullshit or anything like that. Just specifically on generative art, some of it makes a lot of sense to me, but like some of it just seems like, for example, Ringers, right? And once again, Nick's going to say this is the similar to the normal art market, but like Ringers are worth 60 ETH because 260 people have decided that. You know what I mean? And what were the buy-in prices for those 260 people, right? Probably 130 of them. They picked them up for $50 a pop.
Bought mine for 4 ETH. DC Investor owns a bunch.
See,
and that guy can do really no wrong.
So, he owns a bunch. See, it's his club. You like hanging out with him, and
I can't
would
talk
as well.
Shit about DC Investor.
I'm saying there's smart people.
Dude. He's untouchable.
He's a legend.
There's very smart people that own these things, but like, you know, we need to investigate this. Like, we need to investigate the crew that you're hanging with, Depeche Mode, and you know, because clearly you're part of this like insider crew of people who own punks, and. Right. And
as are you, dude. Welcome to the club.
Oh shit!
I got you into that. I was like, hey, come over to this brunch. Remember, you came over. It was great, dude. There was that punks brunch. We were price manipulating over there, dude. We were
at the brunch,
setting stuff at the brunch. We were trying to get back at Kicks.
I was like, yo, you buy a ringer. Yo, you buy a ringer. We're gonna up this floor, baby.
My ringer. I already bought my ringer like a year ago. So you buy it now, and we'll get someone else to buy it for more. That's how it works.
Looks like Cosimo de' Medici bought a ringer 20 days ago. So Cosimo mixing
Man
it up.
Dude.
I have to think he already has it. They are just all in on the art, fucking crushing it. All right. So anyway,
I wonder if he printed this on his wall. Do you have yours printed on your wall?
I don't. I have dead ringers though printed on my wall. I got one of the signed editions, and it looks awesome. It fits my living room perfectly.
I wasn't allowed to auction on that, so that was really cool. I was DMing with the person who helped make that happen, but shout out to that person. Hey, thanks.
Missed out.
I have this NFT dead ringers. It was free. I forget what the circumstance was.
It was like I think it sold for like 0.01 or 0.02.
Oh, I have one. Okay.
Yeah. The whole thing here was he did a project. Each one of these he sent to a random address, which probabilistically means nobody got one. So he sent each one of these out for free. And then he said, hey, and since nobody's going to end up getting these, we call them dead ringers. They all went to dead addresses. I'm going to create this project, you know, and you can just own, everybody can own the collection, but nobody can really own it. So he gave it out for like 0.01, 0.02. All proceeds went to like a food bank. He made like $1 million or $2 million. So I don't know if I would call that a scam, Sir Kicks. But,
well, I bought them.
Literally giving
people,
giving food to the poor, dude. Giving food to the poor.
I didn't get
to
write it off of my taxes.
And the
needy. He did.
Yeah.
I didn't get to write it off of my charity taxes. This guy did.
It's not about us, dude. It's about the people, dude. We're giving. And so he did this. And then I got one of those signed prints. They look beautiful, dude. Beautiful.
Well, there you go. So I guess as far as any like closing thoughts would go on generative art.
This camera's Nick's camera's about to fall over.
Oh, no. The camera's fine. This, don't worry. I'm going to link
what
you
am
to
I
the
looking
setup
at?
That P.O.
Is that an elbow? Okay, I was hoping it was an elbow. Goodness.
It's like a three-pronged, like, I don't know. Whoever made it.
I want you to unblurify your background. I can't tell what's back there. Is that like a hockey stick or like I don't know what is
it's,
there?
It's
some
like
kid machinery that I shouldn't
ground.
Be seeing.
It's kid toys maybe. And just like a pile of trash.
got it.
Just a big pile of trash. Maybe there's a ringer in it on the ground somewhere. I'm gonna go through it.
Ooh,
look, I'm scrolling through because I'm trying to find out if I paper handed that archetype. I'll never forgive myself. But 6 months ago, minted dead ringers by Dimitri Che.
Nice. Dimitri Cherniak,
dude. You did it. You supported
I've dabbled in it. It's not like I've not dabbled in it. I've just always lost money.
Well, if you bought that one thinking you were going to make money, you're a total idiot. That's all. That's
no,
all.
I mean, that was
literally
was
open
money.
Edition. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
was
one?
Like, that was funny money. Season.
What is this? Super
no,
cool.
This is the
this
super
is
cool
Nina's
world.
Super
yeah.
cool world. Yeah.
By who? Is this the cool man's thing?
No, it's Nina Chanel's Super Cool World. So this is a new artist. Not a new artist
looks like
in general.
It took 5 minutes.
New to the NFT space. I was going to say, you're something else, man. You're something else.
This is
else
the beauty of art. You know, some people can love it. Some people can hate it. It's all subjective, but
I'm just making a joke.
It's just pure. It's not like these PFPs that try and, you know, tell you that you're going to be the next, it's going to be the next big thing. It's just like, hey, love it or hate it. You know,
that I do like about it is that with like the generative art, there's no like, oh, we're going to get this airdrop. We're going to get that airdrop. And then, you know, they're going to do this to the moon. Like and that's why actually a lot of people are buying into punks now very much so because they're going to like run it like a business. I almost liked and respected punks more when not that I don't respect them, but like, I always liked like people were like, oh dude, like punks aren't worth as much as apes because like apes are doing all this and that. And I was like, you know, I kind of like about punks that it's just like the first PFP project out there. And that's like all you should expect about it. I do respect that a lot about the art space, which is like the art is the utility. That's it. There's no speculation around what this entity is going to deliver for me next. It's purely like, what should this be valued? That I totally respect about, you know, the art and generative art market. But maybe I just suck at it. Maybe that's why I hate it. You know, I just need to slide it into Depeche Mode's DMs a little bit more often and see what he's up to over there.
Well, I'm not up to much, but I will say this, dude. Like the thing that's amazing about generative art, like the more that you think about it and study it, like as a sophisticated participant, like I might be, the medium itself, like so generative art, right? It's like, okay, it's all on computer. It's like, you know, you're creating a program or an algorithm that's gonna bring you an output. Some form of the process is automated that is uncontrollable. Like NFTs and the blockchain is like a perfect like medium for this to be expressed on. It's like your program is creating art that is then being distributed on a decentralized program, like a decentralized computer. And so it's like the medium itself just fits really, really beautifully. It's awesome. And
in all art, Block's art, is it all on chain?
I don't know how much of it is all on chain or not, actually.
I think
terms
it
of,
is
like,
all
the generative
on chain.
Part.
I think they almost have like the algorithm in the code.
Yeah, it actually might have to be. Yeah, which is what I think is so cool, right? It's like
that's a really cool
like,
aspect about
that's
it.
That's what why autoglyphs are so groundbreaking, because like they were, everything is on chain. Like everything about it is on chain. So it kind of broke like some new, you know, new ground.
I'm kind of an, you know, look, I was doing shit in this, but you know, back in May 2021, I owned two Def Beef. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Def Beef. I owned two Def Piece V1 pieces.
Nice.
And I said these are going to go to 100 ETH one day, and I sold them for 1 ETH profit each, and then they went to 100 ETH.
You had like these?
Yeah, I had two of them. I bought them at 2 ETH each.
You were one of the 100 owners of this.
Well, what series is that? There's a couple series.
Series 0, I think he was looking
at. I was 1. Yeah, I was series 1. I don't think it's worth as much. But even series 1 pumped to like 100 ETH at one point in time. Because the whole thing for me was audio visual all on chain, and like no one else was doing audio visual at the time. So I thought that project was really cool. So I definitely get it. And I think like, you know, the interesting, you know, artifact kind of stuff makes a lot of sense to me. I just feel like sometimes the generative art, it comes in these cycles, right? Like no one talks about generative art, and then there's like a generative art season, and that's not why you should knock on it, but there's like a generative art season, and just I think that retail gets caught in just a bunch of junk because all of the good stuff is already out of your price range.
Yeah,
right. And this is true in NFTs in general, right? But then you're like, oh, I want to get into generative art, and like anything below 5 ETH is a complete crapshoot. You know what I mean? And probably an 80% lose rate. But that's NFTs in general.
Yeah, I was going to say, you already front ran me on that. But I will say this, the famous Tyler Hobbs, he declared once, the world is generative. So what do you think about that, Kix?
Does he think we live in a simulation too?
No, I mean, you look, dude, take a look at the trees. It's like they create seeds, create more trees. All of a sudden the trees turn into a forest. It's generative. It's got patterns. The world is a pattern. Generative art is a pattern.
Fibonacci.
Dude, it's beautiful. It's beautiful stuff, dude. So that's where my appreciation lies right there.
Yeah. And if you do believe that all the crypto nerds are going to be the billionaires of the future, it's probably going to be the crypto art that
I like
the premium stuff, right?
I like that analysis. That's all that matters is like, look, let's be honest. We all know that this is like a complete hoax and no one actually thinks that it looks visually compelling, and that what we're really doing is just investing in the potential that someone is going to strike it rich. One of these dumb idiots collecting it is going to actually like, you know, continue paying more for it.
The best part about this Def Beef is like the sound. I don't know if Theo's having to listen to it. It's like, beep, 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 beep,
beep. There we go. Wow. I'm just kidding. I'm into buying it. Someone, one of the commenters here whose name is literally just Dashes. I'm definitely going to end up buying one of these pieces. So shout out. If you bought one of these, any of these generative things, Good on you. I like art blocks as well, and I'm just making a joke. I don't actually believe that this stuff is trash.
What art blocks do you own? Just since you love them so much, why don't you list them out one by one, one at a time?
Well, I don't own them anymore. I own one.
Ringer number 755, Memories of Chi Lin, Fragments of an Infinite Field.
You actually know the numbers of the ones that you're owning?
Only my ringer, because it's like, you know, it's worth it.
One that I own left. I sold the other one for a massive profit, and prices never reappreciated to that. I'm blanking on the one with Nicholas Hahn, and it was a collab, and it was the first one that had music. Audio. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name of it. But regardless, it was a pretty solid one. The other one I have is Gravity 12 by Jimmy Herdberg. And I was a big fan of these. They look really nice. It's just pretty. Are we listening to that again?
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, we got to get off of this.
There we go.
Death beef stuff, you know.
It's like when you're in like a giant museum, like a modern art museum, and there's just like a room, and there's just a video playing there, and it's just this, and you're like, yeah, that's worth $500,000.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe
that's all art, though. You know, it's like, it's all art, dude. What you can't.
Is there an art Illuminati that determines this stuff, or what? What do you think?
Pretty much, it's a collective. Depeche Note is part of it, and you were debating one of them.
Could you get shield badges into the narrative, or is that a non-starter?
Shields, get them into the narrative. that'd be tough.
Yeah, like all PFPs are generative in some form or fashion, right, dude? Yeah, dude. You got to be careful, man. You're trying to discredit our entire industry. This is genius. Let's drive our prices down.
Hash Mask was one of like the first NFT collections that like really caught my eye at a period of time, and that was really cool. Some of the things that they like hid inside of it and stuff like that. But like, why is Hash Masks not worth anything? But fucking Scromy Quiggles.
Scrummy Quiggles, I like it.
Scrummy Quiggles.
That's uncomfortable, man. That makes me feel a little bit weird inside. Scrummy Quiggles.
Well, it's pretty well, you're saying Hash Masks predated Scrummy Quiggles.
And I think it's fucking cooler by a factor of like 10.
They were early, man. I remember seeing these right at the beginning, but they were on a bonding curve, remember? So I think Keyboard Monkey bought like the final one for like 10 or 100 ETH or some ridiculous amount. And the earlier ones were just point.
That was the death of bonding curves. Bonding curves actually were pretty common in NFTs.
At the beginning, In January of last year, January, February, March.
Oyler Beats, man, lost it all.
There's some good ones. I just want to acknowledge SBM, who said, art history will tell you a lot about art. You can't judge the price out of nowhere, LOL. And I could disprove you with that, but just like literally look at any Christie's auction. It's sort of arbitrary.
And that is a fair point too. It's like, look, we're like a year and a half into this, and we're all acting like, hey, this is so pure. It's like art is judged over decades, right? So
yeah,
this will be interesting to see how it plays out.
And that's a great point too, because it's like,
Nimbuds came before Hash Masks. Sorry, Brinkman in the chat. We should have brought him on. He actually knows what he's talking about.
He knows his shit.
But then we'd actually throw respect on this show.
I've been trying, dude. I've been doing my best. I will stand as a stalwart for the generative art movement, along with DC Investor, which we need to get on the show. I'll do anything to get him on the show, please.
I would too. I just don't think he wants to come on. That would be really cool if he came on.
Yeah, he just doesn't acknowledge. Yeah, I'm too small time, but he might listen to you. You know, all you big guns that are.
What I used to. I tried DMing him, and he blocked me and said, "You suck." Maybe that was somebody else.
Okay. Okay, dude.
I can't DM him. He has DMs off.
I was worried that I accidentally bought, I flipped a
archetype.
Archetype. It was actually a Democracy.
I don't even remember those. Yeah. Lost to history.
How much you know.
Lost to history.
Much.
All I could afford was my one ringer. I've just been diamond handing that sucker and calling myself a pro. So that's it. That's all I did.
It wasn't even an art block. So that's why it rugged. There you go.
Oh, no wonder, dude.
Hash generative artworks. No, art block admin. Yeah. Okay. It was art blocks.
Brinkman is saying Hash Masks never credited the artists, so maybe that's why they didn't get the love.
I forgot that that was like it was a bunch of different artists, right? Like tied into it.
Yeah.
Good times from a simpler time. But Depeche, to your point, like the thing is with like, and then we can go over to Nick doing some sexy TA for us. Just like, as you said, we're only 1.5 years. So like how much of this stuff is going to stand the test of time? But like with normal art, you like, you can't like easily go back and point to the, I guess you can point to the start of like a type of art, right? Like Renaissance, like who started the Renaissance movement? Are the people at the start or like the modern art movement? Are people at the start of a new type of art? Is that where a lot of the really successful ones are? Like, you know what I mean? Is there a, and Pio, you'd probably know this too. Like at the start of a new art movement, is the early crowd of artists often not like, obviously there's gonna be other people that come along, but like, does the early crowd get a lot of the action?
I just think that it's more on who it's like, who is decided to be the innovator. The early thing I feel like comes into play because we're in crypto and it's all about like being early and this is new technology and everything like that. But it's like, you know, I know what you're talking about. You're saying in the surrealist movement, you know, the most, but I mean, the thing is like, I don't think it matters if Dali was like the first one. He's the one that made the melting clock. And so everyone's like, yo, fucking Dali, you know what I mean? Or Miro or all these different guys. Well, but that is a good question for an expert like Brian Brinkman, who's in the audience. Does being the first, it's just kind of it's a tough question because Dali was the first to do it the way that he did it, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I think it's like who represents it really well, right? Like who kind of helps to define the genre. So that's why X-Copy is always going to just win because he's, you know, he's got the glitch stuff and he has defined that style. And like you look at like that's the bull case for ringers, honestly, because they help you to understand what generative art even is. And it's a great representation of what generative art is. You can explain it to people really easily.
So because you could show with the ringer, like the
You're like, hey, look, like here's the concept of saying, hey, you know, you wrap a string around pegs, right? And you put in a few different variables and like imagine, you know, putting that in as a program, right? And then seeing how it spits out and what beauty it creates. Like it helps to teach people about it, which I think is awesome.
Well, and I guess the nice thing about this is it also means though that like you can, if you haven't got into the art blocks movement or the generative art movement yet, it's not like you're A, too late, and B, have to buy someone else's bags, because there's very likely to be more innovative artists on the horizon. And so if you kind of just keep tabs on the space, you may be able to catch the next Fidenza or the next Ringers, because there should be more innovators that come into the space and get rewarded appropriately.
I was going to say, look, on the price side of things, I feel like in terms of what a relevant artist is, it's a mixture of a combination of things. You can't just like look at artists and be like, yo, that artist is going to be famous. Sometimes you can. But generally, I feel like there's a mix.
It's an inside baseball. You got to know like what the rich people are going to want to buy.
What the rich people are going to want to buy, but there's also like what they're promoting. There's the same thing. The narrative I was sharing with somebody was, do you know like 95% of galleries go belly up within like the first, it's something like 12 or 24 months. And you know why the other 5% succeeds?
Sheer luck.
No, the answer is one person buys 80% plus of all their inventory that exists in their gallery. And so they end up with one person who ends up buying all of it. And you know why a lot of artists end up succeeding? It's the exact same thing. So if you end up seeing, I'm blanking on the name of the particular artist, but the same thing happens at Christie's. And I think it was in the Price of Everything documentary where, but I'm not 100% sure. I could have seen it somewhere else. But basically, and DC Investor just replied to my tweet.
Snap!
We're not trying to get you on this show. We're trying to do our morning space, which is a little more professional than this experience. Neither of them are professional. I want to be clear. But the morning show.
What did
show,
he say? I'll never come on your shit show, in a million years. No,
he said just tuned into your discussion. Sounds like an interesting discussion.
DC is my absolute hero. He's the responsible for everything. DC, I love you. Okay, continue.
I just asked one of the biggest generative AI projects out there, known as Google, what makes an art piece worth a lot of money? And Google says one word, provenance. In the art world, an artist's artwork's value can be attributed to provenance. In other words, who has owned the painting in the past? For example, Mark Rothko's White Center was owned by the Rockefeller family, one of the most powerful dynasties in America.
There's another component which overlaps heavily with what you were saying, but in this documentary, they essentially were like, I don't remember who it is, but essentially there was someone that was willing to bid on, I'm just going to say Van Gogh for a moment. I could be completely wrong, but basically there was someone that started collecting those pieces and created an entire market for those pieces. So essentially started buying all of them. Van Gogh maybe, I'm probably completely off with which artist it was, but the bottom line is they now every time a piece went to auction at Christie's, at Sotheby's, that person would show up and bid on whoever that artist was. And that ends up driving the vast majority of value behind
these. Like if Vitalik went and bought 10 of any art blocks project below one ETH, it would probably just rip to five ETH or something like that because of the provenance I own a piece of art, generative art, that Vitalik also owns. And that's part of the provenance story.
So that's one thing. I think there's also a separate aspect of this, which is just like you could have one person just go take up 80% of the supply and then ends up creating a market. Sarah said that Van Gogh's sister-in-law made a market for his art after death. And I
should have been nicer to her during life and maybe wouldn't have been so broke.
Wow. So
I'm just saying, she seems like she was a real businesswoman, and he probably wasn't good friends with his sister-in-law, and so she just waited till he died, and then made a bunch of money off his art.
Just took all the money?
Classic.
Well, I love how, Kix, you kept saying the word provenance, and that's like, dude, that's what NFTs, like, that is one of the main, like, reasons to have NFTs, right? You've got the provenance there. So you've got, like, the irrefutable history that is on an immutable ledger of who's owned it and where
it
came from.
It's so huge.
It's so perfect, dude. And it gets wacky. And that's what's so wild, right? It's like, imagine if this existed back, 100 years ago, like the blockchain and people are trying to trade these assets, like they're totally liquid, like now. And this is so fascinating. It's a giant experiment.
Well, the history of it and also the price action, which to me, in a centralized place, you can see the price history of everything within that collection, which is like impossible to get access to in the traditional art market right now. That by itself is just like, why wouldn't that entire market of speculative art buyers come to this space? It just doesn't make sense.
And there's also way more liquidity due to the nature of you can buy it 24/7, 365, and there's not always inventory available, but there's usually inventory available for things that are like a collection of 1,000 or whatever.
We got some inappropriate people in the chat there, dude. We gotta.
Yeah, you just gotta ignore them. Going.
Yeah, you gotta Comes ignore them, dude. They
are probably you talking came. About Joey Bada Boom?
Joey Bada Boom. Hey. He was thinking about those scromy quiggles, you know what I mean?
Joey Bada Boom.
The scromy quiggles, dude. We should do that meme project, dude.
Dude, let's do it.
Do we want to do the technicals or no? Yeah,
well, little TA to close out. This was great. If DC Investor is still watching, you got to come on the morning show. It's more, it's right up your alley, and that would be incredibly dope.
And we need you so badly because I'm surrounded by people that want to flip everything like within 24 hours. I'm like one of the only people in there that's held things for over a year. So, we need those long-term thinkers. Yeah, me and Pia.
For a year.
You've held, you got your ape. Congrats, dude.
I've held some rugs just leaves over a year.
Kix probably has just some things in his hidden wallet over a year.
Yeah, I have like 600 zeros that I've held for a year. Maybe 1,000.
Okay, so technicals, where are we at? We're up. Back to you guys.
Yes.
So I went and did this. I used Nick's Bollinger Bands earlier. I tried adding a bunch of these different things, including he likes using the R. Is this the RSI? No.
Mackie. Yeah.
No, it's not the MACD.
Oh, that's RSI, yeah.
It's RSI. Bottom line, we're in up mode. I hate Bollinger Bands. I don't use them, but Nick's been using them to guide his direction.
You're missing an important component. I don't look at Bollinger Bands. I only look at Bollinger Bands if they're inside the Keltner channels, okay? How many times do I have to tell you that?
That's a good question.
Add the Keltner channels.
DC Investor said he's going to come on. Show. Looking forward to it.
What day? I got to make sure I'm there. Hey, let's nail this.
You're not invited
down
that day, Node.
Dude, screw that. I will come, dude, and I will find a way.
He said having trouble DMing you. which is, that's not my, I don't think that's my problem, but we'll figure it out.
That's not your problem. Dude, make it your problem.
Tell him to
make
Google it.
Your problem now.
Hey, DC Investor,
you can always DM
Google
me,
it.
DC. My DMs are wide open. I don't know how many times I've tagged
no,
you.
Wide open. What I'm saying is anyone can do it. I think it may be an issue with the way his privacy is set up. So
give
maybe
him
if
my
you
phone
follow
number.
Me. If he follows me, that'll solve the problem.
Here's my phone number, 801. Okay, that's all I'm going to go. Now you know the Utah area code.
Okay. Mine's 202, baby. So let's get back to the technicals right now. What are we looking at?
Motherfucker.
That's how advanced we are. From art to representing area codes. We're just like, yo,
Kicks,
generative
what area
art,
code, where are you?
Sort of at the forefront of innovation within the NFT technology space and represent for the 202, bitch.
I still got that 917, New York City, baby.
So here's what I'm looking at, just these levels. And this was where we got screwed this weekend. This is when Nick and I were on the phone crying for a moment saying, damn, we missed that run. I was watching just down here. And I was like, this looks like a good time to buy. In my bed, I'm sitting there being like, I should go upstairs to buy. I'll just chill for a little bit. And then I just like ignore it. And then I'm like, immediately it just takes off. And I'm like, fuck. Like really,
that's
really
the worst,
pissed off about it. And there was a 15-minute candle here that was insane. I got to go back and look at it. This one was monstrous as well. Actually, we can just load the 15 minutes up. It was this one. It's just like, are you kidding me? Like, we did a run from 1279 all the way up to
I mean, that's just probably like a big buy, right? Or is that short? Is that short getting liquidated?
You know,
maybe short's getting liquidated.
It was a big one. But so what are we looking at? Kicks is using the Bollinger Bands. My main thing is levels. I basically expect when we cross a level and we retain support there, we're going up to the next level. That's the only way that I operate. If we go down below my level, I have a stop loss that'll be in there for me to dump. But right now, it's up only, and we're also using Marin. There's nothing else other than levels that I'm using at this point in time to come up with these numbers. I will say last week, I did say, I added the, we can go off the daily for this. I was saying, we just have the easy, I drew it out on the screen and I did not follow my own advice. As usual, should have gone ham. I was
the 1, 2, 3.
We were just looking at the 1, 2, 3. And we've basically hit exactly what the target price was, which is a distance from top to bottom.
Call that the triple nipple. It's perfect.
Yep.
It's the triple bottom.
Famously known.
Oh, the triple bottom, triple nipple, triple letter. Let's go.
Same thing, pretty much.
So, anyways, now we're hanging out at that level. What is
but pull up Bitcoin levels though? Because like my thesis right now is that NASDAQ is going to grind up this week pretty aggressively, and Bitcoin is also ready.
You
to
got
pop.
A so, triple bottom here that has not materialized.
Exactly, Bitcoin is going to lead it.
This is looking
Bitcoin's going to lead.
Pretty. 2, 3. So we're looking for off the bottom here, 19,181 up to 21,600. So we're looking at a $2,000 run up here is what we're basically saying. 2,500 up from
But then
here.
Look at ETH. ETH broke out of your range. With
so we're looking for 24. So we're actually target price on this would be 24.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Bitcoin leads here with NASDAQ, and it'll drag everything else up off with it. And I'm basically just waiting for Bitcoin to get to like an RSI of 70, because then it's like then the relief rallies has cooked long enough for me.
So I don't use Bitcoin for my levels typically. That's why I have way more lines on my ETH charts. But I mean, if we're following the same triple bottom as you're saying, Kicks, then this should basically ETH has been leading this rally.
Exactly.
And so we're saying that it's going to switch from ETH into Bitcoin leading the rally. That's your prediction here.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. Like that happened a lot in 2021, right? Like ETH goes on a run, and you're sitting in Bitcoin, and you're like fuck me, I'm not getting any action. I literally remember in like January of last year.
That's just like ETH, my life.
ETH goes on a ripper and I'm like sitting in Bitcoin and I'm like, fuck this. I want some of this action. I sell into ETH and then Bitcoin goes on a run and ETH lags behind. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's my bet. My bet is that trust in Marin. We got until the 28th. Bitcoin's going to drag up the markets for the next 10 days. Same with NASDAQ. Get a nice rip.
And I mean, we can get it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. That gets you up to here.
Yeah, exactly. And then it maybe chops up there for the rest of the month and then potentially drops.
I'm very interested in this Bitcoin trade. Here's my thought, though.
Low risk on Bitcoin. Above 20, you're barely above 20K.
Popcan says I'm going there. But here's my general thought. If this has this run, I don't think ETH just sits still. And my target on ETH is actually this level up here. So like I actually would be interested in seeing this.
Looks like you're a big MACD guy now. I'm proud of you, bud.
Okay, where MACD wasn't in here anywhere.
Trust it.
Literally, it was nowhere.
That was the creepiest little giggle I've ever seen, dude.
Here's where I'm looking, giggles. 1720. I'd like to see this run up. And the percentage there is way higher. We're getting almost, so we're getting 300 divided by 1474. That's 20%. We're talking about Bitcoin just completing the triple bottom transition. So that would be down from here, 19,142, 21,7. My screen just disappeared for a minute, but we're back.
Something's up with your audio, Nick, as well.
Yeah, you're getting the chop. You're getting the static.
Yeah, like lots of chop, lots of wind static. It's like, ooh.
Can you hear me now?
Pio would be having honestly, a heart attack if you were here, but he gone.
Hold on. Wait, where did he go?
Is that the real Bored Ape Yacht Club that replied, or is that just somebody?
I don't have a way of ending this.
At least 1800 short term.
Wait, hold on. So I think it crashed. There's Pio.
The god of restream is back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for. Oh, Nick just leaves. Thank you so much for watching. All right, Nick, showing your true colors, just leaving as soon as it gets
I wanted
up.
To see because they said the audio was broken. Dude, like something broke on this end. My screen went black, full screen.
No. Yeah, this, not everybody's qualified to host.
This site has a virus, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed the content, make sure that you hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. Make sure that you sign up with our code for our sponsor, FTX, thenifty.com/FTX, or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app.
Moonbirds.
last thing to look at here, Ape. I would say, well, congrats to Signal.
She's
a trade.
She got out.
Literally at the top. Look at that. Just absolutely killing it. Can I just throw volume on here?
Eve's got some more room to run because Eve's been kind of lagging. Ape. I'd say you could definitely see Ape going to $8 if everything else rips up.
But this is a weird... These technicals are completely disjointed from like ETH. Like this doesn't have like a triple bottom sort of thing.
It's more alt of altcoin. It's more on the alty side.
It's alty as fuck. Hey,
I mean,
look.
There is three bottoms. One, two.
Pio's really trying to wrap this up, Nick. Let him do it, dude. Let him.
No,
end
let's
this
keep
show,
on talking.
Dude.
So he my target here would be 6.18.
End the show. I'm
so,
not
anyways, now we, it's a special day. We have Node on. I say we go for another 45 minutes to an hour. So, no,
I have to go do easy show. So,
how do you think? Okay, I'll just argue with you.
Remember, smash that subscribe. Lick the like button, and looking forward to DC Investor coming on the show. All he's got to do is follow me back, but he's not listening anymore. So
DC,
hey, phenomenal show! I loved it. Thank you, Depeche and Pio, the resident people that get art, and Depeche specifically very deep in the generative art game. Thank you for walking me through some questions I've had about generative art. I overall feel a lot better about it. I believe that you got to be honest with yourself. I'm not good at picking good art. I'm just not. So if I'm not, but I still want to get exposure to generative art, closing thought, Depeche, what do I need to do? Just ask you, who should you follow? Who are the thought leaders in the art space, generative art space?
You follow DC Investor, follow Zeneca. Those two guys will take you home.
Perfect.
DC, I follow him to the end of the world, dude.
Love it.
He's everything. So don't do anything else. Much love.
And if you want to learn about how to grow your Twitter, I'll be learning about social media from PO and some other people tonight. So check that out on the Nifty Portal account.
What you're going to do is get in a retweet group.
See you later, Jack.